did you know that the Old Testament, which contains 37 separate books, incorporates 11 of these as chronological? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hello again. You're listening to Dr. Fred and Study, Grow, Know. Thanks so much for joining me. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're probably going to do one to two part series on the overview of 11 chronological Old Testament books. And then we're going to move into another topic that I really enjoy discussing. And it is called Interpreting the Bible Literally. And that's based on a book I wrote. Interpreting the Bible Literally is not as confusing as it sounds. So we'll get into that. But first, I want to discuss an overview of the 11 chronological Old Testament books. Now, obviously, there are 37 of those separate books, but 11 of those are chronological. And they are Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Now, these books together cover a period of roughly 3,600 years. The remaining books of the Old Testament fall into one of the following categories. They're either complementary books, wisdom books, or prophetic books. Now, together, they make up the entire Old Testament of the English Bible. And in order to appreciate the chronology or the chronological history of the Hebrew nation prior to even becoming the Hebrew nation, until all the way up until the intertestamental period, it's important to gain a solid understanding of each of these 11 chronological books, their themes, the period they cover, and how they connect. Once they're understood, then the blanks can be filled in, so to speak, with the complementary, wisdom, and prophetic books. Well, let's start with Genesis. Genesis unfolds for us the beginning of everything, covering a period from 4004 to 1900 BC. Dr. Cohn, he was a professor of mine when I studied at Tyndale, and Dr. Cohn basically sees the overall theme of Genesis as being how, quote, God relates to man. Now, certainly this is the case as God goes through the process of his creation, with his crowning achievement being man, made on the sixth day. Now, what is interesting is so monumental was this aspect of God's creation that he literally breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. Now, a good deal of ground goes quickly by us from the first chapter of Genesis to the 12th. But it's interesting because God seems intent on getting to his chosen man, Abraham. A theologian by the name of W. Graham Scroggie tells us that, quote, Abram, therefore, marks a new beginning in history. He is the founder and father of what is called the Jewish race, and the only man who was ever called the friend of God, unquote. And you can find that, by the way, in 2 Chronicles 20:7, Isaiah 61:8, and James 2:23. Now, what's interesting here is when God first called Abraham out of Ur, he gave him no promise. God gave him no promise. And we read about that in Acts 2, verse 4. He later called him out of Haran, giving him rich promises. And you can read about those in Genesis 12, 1 through 5. God's covenant promised to make Abraham's name great by giving him a people that would be the number of the sand, give those people an inheritance of land forever, and through Abraham bless all the nations of the earth. And again, you can find that in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, 15, 3 through 21. But what's really interesting to me is how God's chosen line continues from one individual to the next throughout the Old Testament, in spite of the many actions that take place to keep this very promise from being fulfilled. From Abraham, we see that God's covenant continues through Isaac. Prior to the birth of Isaac, Abraham, well, he unfortunately ran ahead of God's covenant, and he tried to do something at the suggestion of his wife Sarah, and he wound up sleeping with and impregnating her handmaiden Hagar. Now, Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, and there has been nothing but problems for Israel ever since. Do you realize that? had Abraham clung to his faith in God and not given into the suggestion to sleep with and father a child by Hagar, there would not be the animosity and strife and problems we see today with Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. It wouldn't exist. Isaac, though, eventually marries, and he has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was rejected by God even before he was born, with God choosing Jacob to be the one to continue with the Abrahamic covenant. And he said here in Genesis 25:23, he says this, quote, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger, unquote. And again, that's Genesis 25:23. Now, it's from Jacob, whose name is eventually changed to the name Israel, that God brings forth 12 sons. These 12 sons became the patriarchs of the eventual nation of Israel. And from these patriarchs come the 12 tribes of Israel, with Judah being chosen as the tribe of royalty from which the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would ultimately come. Now, it's very interesting here, because one of these patriarchs is Joseph, who, under God's divine election, was mistreated by his jealous brothers and eventually sold into slavery. But what's interesting is this didn't get rid of him, because not realizing, of course, they were fulfilling God's plan, they did what they wanted to do. Joseph, however, went from being a slave to becoming essentially the prime minister of Egypt, just under Pharaoh. And it was providentially done by God. He was providentially placed in that position in order that the people who would become the nation of Israel would not disappear off the face of the earth during the terrible famine that was to come. To save his family, Joseph had his entire family, brothers, father, and relatives move down to Egypt with him. Now, all of this happened in the book of Genesis, and it leads us to our next book in our chronology, Exodus. Exodus takes place roughly between the time of 1525 to 1440 BC, and it highlights Israel's leaving Egypt. There's a break of approximately 400 years between the time of Genesis and the time of the Exodus, and that is solely due to the fact that God's chosen people and Abraham's seed had become captive in the land of Egypt. Now, Joseph had long died, and when this new Pharaoh arrived on the scene, according to scriptures, he wasn't aware of Joseph or how important Joseph had been to the people of Israel. This Pharaoh made slaves of all of God's people. At the beginning of Exodus, a new character is introduced into the landscape, and his name is Moses. And he becomes God's appointed man in this hour of Israel's need to rescue God's people from their captivity in Egypt. Now, God in his sovereignty, he leads his people out of the bondage of Egypt through Moses. And I know you're familiar with these stories, to the land that he swore, originally to Abraham, mind you, that he would give them. They travel through the wilderness with God, meeting their needs at every turn. Now, prior to entering the promised land for the first time, Moses meets with God on top of Mount Sinai, and it is there that Moses is given the Ten Commandments. God gives those Ten Commandments to Moses. And these commandments, all of them, there were 613 of them, all of them, they were part of a new covenant that God was making with Israel. This is all recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20. God's reason for doing this is to show them that however hard they try, they will not be able to keep his commands. Nonetheless, the people responded with wholehearted agreement to these commands by stating, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And that's Exodus 24, the first part of verse 3. Now, it's also in Exodus that God introduces the concept of the tabernacle to the Israelites as a testament to, as W. Graham Scroggie again points out, quote, the fact that God's approach to man and the way of man's approach to God, and as the tabernacle is a type of Christ, John 1:14, we have reason to look for the counterparts of the type in his life and death, unquote. So here we are, we've got Genesis, and then we go to Exodus, and we realize some of the major events happening in Exodus with Moses and going to the promised land. And then we move to the next book in a chronological line, which is Numbers, Numbers begins with a census, which is a numbering of people. And interestingly enough, it ends with a census. Now, in between these two censuses, two main events take place. First, 12 spies are sent out into the land of Canaan, and all but two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, return with a report that squashes all of the Israelites' excitement. Joshua and Caleb are confident in the Lord, stating, "The land we pass through today is an exceedingly good land, and if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." And I'm sure you remember that. That's in Numbers 14, the first part of 7, and verses 8. So Joshua and Caleb, they were ready to go in. But, as you're aware, that doesn't go over well, and the two spies are outnumbered. The crowd even turns on Moses and Aaron, and they're saying, "Look, let us select a leader and return to Egypt." They're ready to kill Moses and Aaron, and God intercedes, ready to kill all the people, stating to Moses that he would use him, Moses, to create a nation for himself. Moses intercedes for the people, and they are spared. However, their punishment is twofold. They are destined to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and all those who rebelled eventually died in the wilderness. They never saw the promised land. Now, having come full circle, it seems, with this census, the beginning of Numbers and the end, wandering 40 years, then another census, which ensured that those who were with them at the first census were now gone. That's part of the reason they did that second census. God is now ready to bring the people into the land of promise. This leads us to the book of Joshua, and the conquest of Canaan begins. So we've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and now Joshua. But Joshua, it isn't long before Israel fails to obey all of God's dictates by refusing to destroy and or cast out everyone out of the promised land. Instead, they allow some of those groups of idolaters to stay, even making some slaves to their own detriment because they become idolatrous themselves. Just like the people, they did not chase or eradicate from the land. So Joshua is a good book that reminds us of the danger of mingling with the world. That's exactly the point with Joshua. And then Joshua leads us to the book of Judges. As Joshua dies and the people are ruled by a series of judges who make decisions and help to keep order, there's a continued cycle for Israel, which goes through sin against God, then God bringing in a nation to chastise them, and then Israel cries out for deliverance, and finally God brings a deliverer for Israel. Israel then enjoys peace, happiness, and prosperity until the cycle begins all over again. So it's an interesting set of situations that visits and revisits the nation of Israel. We're going to stop there for today. We're going to pick this up next time, and we're going to continue talking about the chronology found within the Old Testament that helps us to understand how the Old Testament flows. So I hope you'll be with me to finish that up. And I also wanted to mention to you that I have a live talk show on blogtalkradio.com/study-grow-know. And I broadcast from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and that's Eastern Standard Time in the United States. So you'll have to adjust your schedule for that or find out when it's on. But anyway, hopefully you can join me there. If not, you can listen to the archives. So I hope you've enjoyed this show. I have, and I'm looking forward to the next one. And in the meantime, may God bless you richly. Thanks. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred of Study Grow Know Ministries. And besides my weekly radio program, I've written numerous books and commentaries specifically geared for the average person. My books cover a variety of theological topics like prophecy, UFOs and aliens, and even current political issues. You can find them on Amazon.com or through our website, studygrowknow.com. That's studygrowknow.com. Regardless of the subject, I offer a biblical conservative perspective on these and other subjects. So please join me, Dr. Fred, with Study Grow Know Ministries on this radio station every week and look for my books. We cover issues that are important to you.
You've been listening to Study Grow Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.